This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan from Fun Kids. Now, I'm with the author of The Dreamcatcher and now the Shadowkeeper books. Abby Elphinstone is in the Fun Kids studio. Now, the brand new book is out on the 25th of February.
Yep.
Now, I'm thinking Griff the Wildcat, right? Yes. It's kind of like Mole's shadow. It's always there, right?
Yeah.
What would your shadow animal be?
Ooh, I think it would be a snow leopard. And if I wasn't writing about an English country's forest, I probably would have whacked a snow leopard in. But yeah, snow leopard, or I quite like killer whales.
Why would you compare yourself to a killer whale?
I basically watched a documentary on them last night, and apparently they're like the most intelligent animals ever. They have a separate part in their brain, like an extra bit of brain, that means they can sort of process emotions on a heightened level. So I reckon that would be quite handy. And I tried to snorkel with killer whales in the Arctic 2 weeks ago. So I sort of developed a bit of a bond with killer whales then.
So the second one, The Shadowkeeper,
yeah.
It's out February the 25th.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you tell me everything about it in, we'll say 30 seconds?
Ooh, so desperate to stay hidden from the Shadow Masks, which are a group of deadly witch doctors, Moll and her friends are living as outlaws in a secret cave down by the sea. And they need to find an amulet of truth to force the dark magic back. But in the way of that amulet of truth are smugglers, a really evil guy called Barbarous Grudge. There are mer creatures, but not your average sort of like wiggly mermaids. These ones are a lot scarier. And what else is there? Oh, codes. I love codes, cracking codes. So there are codes and sort of secret messages that they've got to unravel before they find it.
So there's obviously a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
How many books do you have planned for the series?
So there's three in this series. I'm not allowed to say what the third one's called, because I'm going to announce it on Instagram in a few months, I think. But I've actually already written it, and it's set in the mountains up in Scotland where I grew up. And then after that, I'm writing an Arctic series. So it's slightly different.
How much of it had you kind of had planned in your mind from the first moment you started to write the first book, The Dream Snatcher? Did you know what the ending was going to be?
So it's really weird with different books, it's different things. So when I wrote The Dream Snatcher, I sort of had a vague idea about this quest for an amulet and through a forest with tree ghouls. And I'm slightly dyslexic, so I plan really, really carefully. I doodle and sketch and draw maps. So I drew the whole sort of plot and little doodles, like almost like a comic strip. And then I wrote it. But with The Shadowkeeper, the only thing I knew about the book was the ending. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I just knew there was this big scene at the end, which involves flying. And I knew that I had to get there somehow. And so I sort of worked back from there. And then again, I drew and I doodled and I, you know, drew caves and that kind of thing.
How much research have you done for this? You said that for your next series, you're gone to the Arctic. But what about for the Shadowkeeper? Where have you been?
Well, The Shadowkeeper has a lot of caves in it. And I grew up on the sort of northeast coast of Scotland. And so I went to loads of caves with my dad and visited them and sort of like made campfires. And I think we slept the night in one of them. But I wanted to go into a really big cave for The Shadowkeeper. And I abseiled 72 metres into a cave in the Brazilian jungle. So it's called Abismo de Animus, I think, like the Great Abyss. And I went 72 metres down, and then right at the bottom of this cave was an underground lake. And it had the world's highest, I think, stalactites, you know, those huge sort of rock formations growing up, walls that had sort of never been touched by sunlight, you know, there was only a crack of sunlight. And I took my pad down there and I was sort of noting things down and how the walls, you know, the rock walls felt, what the stalagmites looked like. And we swam in this lake as well, and in sort of full body wetsuits to keep the cold off.
So the codes, mm-hmm. got a load of codes in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Where has that come from? You said that you didn't have any real plans apart from the ending to this book. Mm. What suddenly led you down the path where they're solving riddles and codes?
Did you read the Harry Potter books?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a really cool, I think it's an anagram in that book with Thomas Malvolo.
Oh, yes, I am Lord Voldemort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that and just being like, oh, that was fun. And I did an anagram in The Dream Snatcher, the first book. And I think as a child, I just loved solving things. And I wasn't particularly good at solving things, but I liked that there was the challenge there anyway. And I think if you're doing a sea adventure, there's this idea of maps and secret codes. And, you know, it sort of lends itself to that kind of a story. So I just found myself inventing code after code and then, you know, whacking them all in.
So here's the deal, right? You're obviously really busy. When I have to do homework and stuff, it's just so hard to sit down for anything longer than 10 minutes. Mm. And then my arm starts to ache, my head starts to hurt a lot. And I'm constantly amazed by everything else that's happening apart from what I'm meant to be doing, the work on this sheet of paper.
Yeah.
How do you stay focused when you know that you've got two books to write and then you're moving on to a second series?
It's very hard. So I have a desk. I have a little writing shed in the garden and I write in there and there's a desk in there and there's a drawer in the desk. And I have to shut my phone in the drawer so that I don't check Instagram or message my mum or anything. So I generally, when I go down there, I light a little candle and I just sit. And there are moments when I just stare at a screen and I think, there are no words left inside me. Like, there is nothing here. But I just make myself stay until the words start happening. And when I get into a rhythm, I sort of start typing faster and faster and I'm like banging on the computer keys and that's really exciting.
Do you have any kind of tips or tricks for when it's not happening, for when you're struggling to write a single word? How do you get over that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think drawing a map is really, really helpful to get over this obstacle, because normally when you're not writing a single word, it's because you can't quite visualise what's going to happen next, or you can't quite imagine. And I, perhaps because I'm dyslexic, but I'm such a visual learner, that if I draw what I think could happen in a scene, seeing it in front of me, I start making links. Like, if I've just drawn a wall with a forest and then a couple of trees and a lake, I'm like, oh, my character could jump over the wall, get kidnapped to the forest, taken to the lake. And so a sort of pattern starts to happen. So I think drawing maps is probably quite key.
So this is the second one. And I mean, it's all about like Romany gypsy culture, isn't it? What made you want to focus on those people to write about?
As a child, I was always dreaming about not living in a house. I'd sort of found it really boring being in a house with walls and a door, and I built treehouses in the garden and dens in the woods. And I think it's become a sort of thing that in all my books I want to have characters who don't live inside. So the first book is Wagons in the Woods, Shadowkeeper is Caves by the Sea. And I hadn't met any Romany gypsies when I sat down to write the book, so I read a book about their culture and I emailed the man who'd written the book, and he said, I know, I said, have you got anyone that I could meet that is a Romany gypsy? And he said, well, there's this one guy, but he doesn't know anyone really. He's in the middle of the forest. He doesn't really like seeing people, but he's an amazing guy. You can write to him and see if he writes back. And I wrote to him, and he wrote back and said, come down to the forest and I'll teach you everything you know.
A letter?
Yeah. He wrote this beautiful scripted letter, and I'd sent mine out to the forest. It was a really special guy, and you can't see this, but he carved catapults made from ash, that's a type of wood, with horses' heads in the handle. We're just looking at it now. And he taught me how to play the sheep bones.
My favourite part about this, I mean, it's like incredible.
Yeah, you've
got this this like horse's head. It's varnished, but the strength of elastic band that you fit on this is something that I've never seen before.
I know, where do you get elastic bands like that? It's like an octopus's, whatever they are, arm.
There we go.
It's all about octopuses.
I'm guessing that my mum probably would never want me to know where to get elastic bands like that, because there would be no windows left in our
like
house.
It's industrial, isn't it? It's properly thick.
So The Shadowkeeper is out on the 25th of February. Where can we kind of go and find out more?
Where can you buy it, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think pretty much everywhere. Like all good bookshops, Waterstones, Amazon, everywhere really, I think.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good luck doing all these adventures and just don't die, really, I think.
I know,
just stay safe.
Stay safe.
Amazing. Cheers,
Thanks
Abby.
Thanks so much.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.